The Autobiography of Andrew Carnegie, read by David Rintoul with Lucy Scott for Naxos Audiobooks.
Preface. After retiring from active business, my husband yielded to the earnest solicitations of friends, both here and in Great Britain, and began to jot down from time to time recollections of his early days. He soon found, however, that instead of the leisure he expected, his life was more occupied with affairs than ever before, and the writing of these memoirs was reserved for his playtime in Scotland. For a few weeks each summer, we retired to our little bungalow on the moors at Altnagar to enjoy the simple life, and it was there that Mr. Carnegie did most of his writing. He delighted in going back to those early times, and as he wrote, he lived them all over again. He was thus engaged in July 1914, when the war clouds began to gather, and when the fateful news of the 4th of August reached us, we immediately left our retreat in the hills and returned to Skibo to be more in touch with the situation. These memoirs ended at that time. Henceforth, he was never able to interest himself in private affairs. Many times he made the attempt to continue writing, but found it useless. Until then, he had lived the life of a man in middle life, and a young one at that, golfing, fishing, swimming each day, sometimes doing all three in one day. Optimist as he always was and tried to be, even in the face of the failure of his hopes, the world disaster was too much. His heart was broken. A severe attack of influenza, followed by two serious attacks of pneumonia, precipitated old age upon him. It was said of a contemporary who passed away a few months before Mr. Carnegie that he never could have borne the burden of old age. Perhaps the most inspiring part of Mr. Carnegie's life, to those who were privileged to know it intimately, was the way he bore his burden of old age. Always patient, considerate, cheerful, grateful for any little pleasure or service, never thinking of himself, but always of the dawning of a better day. His spirit ever shone brighter and brighter until he was not, for God took him. Written with his own hand on the flyleaf of his manuscript are these words. It is probable that material for a small volume might be collected from these memoirs, which the public would care to read, and that a private and larger volume might please my relatives and friends. Much I have written from time to time may, I think, wisely be omitted. Whoever arranges these notes should be careful not
Sample complete. Ready to continue?